morning. Good morning. Hey, you're listening to the Republic of Texas Radio Show. Today's date is 3-13-13. Isn't that amazing? No, actually, that's a lie. It's 3-13-22. We've gone kind of a little bit of a way from 2013. I don't know why that came up. Probably the stupid numbers game that people play sometime, and the fact that I didn't get enough sleep, and I'm kind of half asleep, maybe sleep talking at this point. But, you know, that happens right now because we have this artificial time change that happens twice a year and always falls on my show for some reason, or maybe not always. It sure seems like it. We spring forward, we fall back. We get an hour back. Oh, they're taking away an hour. Man, who took my hour? Who can give me an hour? Ridiculous. Don't comply. There is no time. Actually, Alan kind of lives like that when he's not working. You know, time doesn't even matter to him. That was fascinating when I first met him. What is life like without time? Well, anyways, Alan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, morning, Steve. Yeah, you know, people that come out here to the ranch where I'm at, you know, been in the family since, you know, the 1840s. They actually came across in the 1830s. And, you know, they see these rock fences out here. And everyone's just amazed. They say, how did they build those things? And I just look at them and I say, they had time. You know? They didn't have to have it done 5 days ago. They had their time, and they built it, and everything wasn't an instant flash, bang, whiz, whack, whiz, gag world, and people had a little more peace in their lives, even though I guess you could say that they had to struggle more to survive. But it seems like they had more peaceful lives, definitely than we do today.
Yeah, you can see these... Well, these creations of people from back in time, all over Gillespie County, Fredericksburg area, you got
there's stone walls. There's an 1870s house down here on part of our property, Steve, you know, and and it's like, it's built from, hewn live oak logs and, you know, rocks chinked into it, you know, with some type of plaster they made, you know, out of clay and everything. And then for landing strips... They use twigs that they had these little tiny nails, and they'd nail these little nails into the logs and use them as lathing strips to hold the plaster up on the fancy inside walls they had, you know? Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, I remember the building you're talking about. I was fascinated by it, but you just look at it and you wonder what it was like to build it, to live there. You go, okay, so what do? We get up in the morning and we work and we go to bed when it's dark. Huh, it's a simpler time. But maybe I'm kind of like oversimplifying it, but I don't think so. Oh, nowadays it's crazy. Well, I bet you it was crazy back then. You know, what are we talking?
Well, in
1870s, 1880s. Yeah.
You know, in today's world, people don't realize that they're basically working 24 hours a day because you've got a little mechanism there that everyone keeps in their hand or by their head or lay on the table in front of them or wherever it might be, that they're accessible 24 hours a day, maybe 25 hours a day at this point, you know, maybe 8 days a week. And they don't even have freaking weekends anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's funny, I have my desk, and it's got my computer monitors and all this stuff, and I have room for a laptop, and I have the traditional papers viewed about, and cables and cords and things like that. Once in a while, I come home, and I don't turn on any computers or monitors and sit in that chair, and you go, hey, look, there's a pencil. it's a really neat drill to disconnect, and then you start cleaning the desk. You go, wow, why is this on here? And it just, your life piles up while you stare at these things, these monitors, laptops. But we do work 24 hours a day. It's kind of fascinating if it's working at being programmed, you know, being programmed by the television. I know this is Republic Broadcasting, and we don't do television in a traditional sense. Some people watch movies, some watch series, some watch satellite, and but people speaking other foreign languages, Alan, but it's still some kind of entertainment, tell live vision. Hey, Chris, miss you, man. But anyways, I didn't want to go on this tear, but they did it to me, Alan. They did it again. Last year, they promised to do away with the time change. And I trusted them, Alan. I really did. That was a joke, Alan.
Yes, yes, I know. And me of all people should understand that, you know, the sarcasticity. Thank you, Chris. The sarcasticity of your jokes at times. That's pretty much the way I work. You know, and so it's like me, Steve. You know, a lot of mornings I start my morning with a labotomy, which is slightly different from a lobotomy, but it's rather peaceful, but not permanent.
That would be a Labrador sitting on your chest, right? Labotomy.
Pretty much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? You know, this current lab that you have onto. No, she's a lot lighter than BB was. It was funny because BB was a big
by
dog,
about 40 or 50 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, I don't know. BB might have been actually heavier than you. He sure might have been. He was a big dog.
Yeah, he was about 110, something like that. He was a good sized boy.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we don't need to ramble on about this and that, and then we can get on to the serious subjects. But here's a question. What is a serious subject? I was talking to Andy, and he was asking me, what was important, or not what was it? What are we going to talk about today? You know, so we're going to get down here, and we're going to tell you the truth. Here's the truth we can tell you. Did you know this little fact about the current American truckers convoy? I didn't. You know, you don't hear anything about that, right? So am I going to go, and I don't want to belittle the truckers convoy. You know, what you hear about the truckers convoy is nothing. You can search some stuff out, right? I'm sure you can. You can find lies and you can find truths, and you can try to disseminate between the two and figure out what's going on. And then here's the question. What does it all even matter? You know, in Washington, D.C., people go over there, millions of people. Well, we've got the Million Man March. We're marching, and we're going to get some change. And they march into Washington, and what happens? Crickets. Nothing happens. What about that march they did against Trump, where they wore vagina hats? You know, did that do anything? At least it got some press. But I don't know. I think the Americans are a day late marching to Washington, and the Canadians. Well, they did it. I think that was
no, Steve. Speaking of trucker strikes, you remember a guy named Joe McNeil, right? You know, he had the micro effect.
Yeah.
I've talked with Joe, and I remember Joe talking about the truckers strike that they did. What was it, back in the 80s? And same thing happened. It was just kind of crickets and infiltration, and basically fell apart. You know, bless the people for, you know, trying to stand up for themselves, but that was even, you know, pre the internet world where everything is whiz bang and known instantly. They had a bunch of people out there, a bunch of guys involved in it, but didn't really do a heck of a lot, because once again, infiltration and destruction, diversion. It's kind of like, I just found out a fact about something over in Ukraine there, Steve. I believe it's over in western Ukraine somewhere. It is the largest Chabad Lubavitch Center on the planet.
In western Ukraine?
It's like a 20-story building. It's this big, huge, freaking complex building of Chabad Lubavitchers. And apparently some of the Azov Battalion, you know, the dreaded Nazis that hate the Jews, are made up a lot of Jews in those in that little Nazi movement over there.
Yeah, I've heard that said too, but not about the giant building. You know, but wow, Ukraine is fascinating. You know, the whole people are dumb. That's just it, right? Oh, no, Steve, they're not dumb. They're just ignorant. Like, no, I think they're dumb. You know, generally speaking, they'd rather go home and look at the television screen and be, you know, entertained, told what's what, right? Here's the pecking order. I can't believe how much people are told what the pecking order is. I was over at an auto parts store, and I was looking at the programming that they were doing. And so they had, well, here's some oil, here's some wiper blades, they're on sale, 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 buy it, we're hiring. And then they put people lined up in a row. A black woman, a white woman, a Mexican chick, right? A bald white guy, a fat white guy. I'm going, really? So is that the pecking order? And you do find that all the way around. But we're being programmed. We're being lied to. And people are dumb. Maybe they were dumbed down intentionally. Maybe they can grow. But I don't know, right? You know, what's going to take? You know, we fell right into this whole end of the world Ukraine thing. You know, slipped from the COVID into the end of the world. Ah, we're all going to die from Putin, evil Putin.
The population, is disgustingly malleable. I forget who to credit this to, but I heard someone say, and I've sat and I've thought about it, and it's one of those things that really kind of stuck in my head. You know, it's like, if you really think about it, the governments always tell you who your enemy is before you can really figure out that the government is your enemy.
Yeah, no, he's your enemy. That's funny. Mm-hmm. It's sad. I was over at a customer's house, hanging a TV on the wall, and man, I had a hard time with this one because I got in, take off the old broken TV, and put the new TV up there, and turn it on, and boom, Fox News, dun dun dun. And here they are blithering about Russia and Ukraine. And I'm like, okay, channel up. And then we're on the weather. I'm going, whew, that's cool. I can listen to the weather. Well, just the fact that we just touched Fox News. My customer starts telling me about Russia. Oh, I really don't like this situation. I go, what situation? Oh, Russia. Russia's going to take out Ukraine. I think we should go over there and attack them. You go, why would we want to do that? I want my country back. Oh, but we don't want them coming over here. And I'm like, oh, so we fight them over there so we don't have to fight them here? Did that work out well last time? And she looked at me and didn't get my sarcasm. And so I went on. But it's fascinating. But she's in a generation that's, advanced in my area. She grew up her entire life, fear the Soviet Union, Russia bad, Russia bad. Then all of a sudden in the 90s, they didn't know what to do when the coin flipped on its side and the Soviet Union broke up. And it's like, well, can we still hate Russia? I thought I hated them, but now I'm supposed to like them? Well, no, they re-harnessed that energy, that hatred that was, well, programmed into them. How long did it take to really harness that hatred of Russia? It's probably 91 through 2000, 2001. They started calling them a villain again. I mean, they never stopped calling him a villain, but the rhetoric
that was in between the Muslims, the bad Muslims, Steve. That, you know, 91 to 2001, it was the bad Muslims, the Muslims, you know, the Great Sandbox won. And, you know, we got to go over there and fight them because they got weapons of mass destruction. See this little vial of yellow stuff? That's yellow cake uranium. And they got it, and they're going to blow us off the face of the planet, you know. you know, they've got to present
painful.
You with an enemy because it's an effective means of control. The fear, there's got to be a constant enemy that wants to come over and kill you and rape you and pillage you, when in fact, generally, I have the feeling that most of the people on this planet would get along just fine if the frickin' governments would stay out of it. It's the government situation and the control freaks that always get in, that always want more and more and more, and they want to have everything their way, and everyone has to live their life exactly as they would say that they have to be lived. When most of the people on this planet are basically probably just like us. I know people who've gone to Russia and Ukraine and, you know, Eastern Europe, you know, after it opened up and everything, and they said, man, the people were great. Right? We don't see any why we would have any problem with any of them. It's the freaking governments that always do that crap.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that, but I have no frame of reference because I've never lived without a hostile government bossing me around. I was driving with a Democrat. Was in a car with a Democrat, and he was probably vaccinated. You know, I had my shield up between us. I put plexiglass up, and I wrapped him in masks. No, I didn't do that. It's an interesting subject, though, shedding. But I don't know how to get away with I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to go down that route. But I was in the car with a Democrat, and so we're driving along, or I'm driving along, and he's sitting in the passenger seat, and he sees a sign for Don Huffine, right? You know, he was running for Texas governor against Greg Abbott. You know, we call him Roly-Poly here on the show, or at least I do, because I want to make fun of him. I don't like him. I don't really wishy-washer. He was a Democrat. He is a Democrat. You know, whatever, Greg Abbott is a Democrat. And he was also running against Alan West. And he was going, wow, I thought Don was going to do a lot better. And I go, well, but, you know, there's too many horses in that race. You know, everybody went for the safety pick because, you know, they don't want to go for that Beto guy. So they wanted to put their best horse, even though their horse didn't have any legs. You know, he rolls around. But if that was, I wouldn't even pick on him if he, you know, rolled around and did what's right, you know, but he doesn't. And that's government, just like Alan said, they're not in it for you. But all of a sudden, this Democrat that was sitting, the vaxxed Democrat that was sitting across from me, goes, man, he says, we got to get rid of that property tax because you can't even own your land. I hold crap. What just came out of his mouth, right? Who are you? You can't be a Democrat if you're against property taxes. Don't you want to tax everybody and take everything from everybody? Well, maybe it's not that complicated. Maybe there's some Democrats out there that actually don't like the idea of renting your own property from the government. Man, isn't that nirvana?
And having basically no say-so even to where that money goes. I mean, supposedly, you know, property taxes started to make the schools smarter and better. And the schools, they don't even teach, they don't teach writing, they don't teach math, they don't teach history anymore. So what the hell good are the schools? What is your money going for?
Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Attention. Attention, please. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dead people. We're going to talk about dead people. Just kidding. I don't know, man. It's Sunday, what? Oof. March? What does that mean, anyways? Well, the Ides of March. That's another subject. I don't know, Ellen. Everything's so crazy right now. I was thinking just a few seconds ago, you know, as we were going through the commercial break about, gasoline, I guess that's one thing I'm distracted by. You know, we've got this great war going on, and I'm missing the whole thing because I'm worried about gasoline. Man, I gotta focus, right? Focus on how much I hate Putin, right? I'm gonna focus on Putin. No, I'm gonna focus on gas. You know, when we first met, Alan, both you and I had a keen interest in gasifiers, alternate power sources. And that was somewhere around 2009, 2010. Gasoline was through the roof. And there were people here in Gillespie County that were, trying to make things to run engines on, remember? The water-powered engine, the Joe Cell, and brown gas machines. And that went away, right? Because gasoline went down to a manageable level. And I was just looking and going, well, everybody stopped trying and just started buying. And now we're getting to the point where maybe we've got to go build ourselves a gasifier just to try to, be prepared to actually, you know, manage without gas. You know, is that a possibility? The world could shift that way, man. What do you think?
Yeah, Steve. Basically, Obi-Wan Kenobi stood in front of us, waved his arm, and said, "These are not the droids you're looking for. Move along now." Yeah, it's amazing. The boom bust, the cycles of ultra convenience, and then a little bit of hardships, and wouldn't convenience be better again, even if it's not quite as convenient as it was before, and there's more control behind it? Yeah, it's amazing. The cycle just repeats over and over. Different technology, different points in time, but the same basic process. It's disgustingly simple at its base, but just the control mechanisms. It's freaking disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and I don't know where we fall for traps, right? Take your thumper pump, right? You know, Alan has this pump that comes from his pond, lake, whatever we call it, right? He built a dam. And then on the top, you put a pipe, and then the water flows down to this little thing, and it fills up, and boom, boom. And so it uses the gravity and the pressure from the water to actually pump water. And you can pump it up hills and fill a container, right? You have moving water, right? And it's great. No energy involved. Well, people used to use these all over the place, but now... I think it's a very little-known secret of the world that you don't need energy to move water, that you can use the force of water to move itself. It's kind of like, wow, I guess you're using gravity to move water. But anyways, they replaced a lot of these things.
The non-compressibility of water, it's one of the only fluid that is... non-compressible. So there's an effect called the water hammer effect that, yes, if you have a flow of water and, there's some math involved in it and everything, but it's pretty simple math. And, if you get it moving so fast and then you stop it all of a sudden, it wants to keep going. So it can push a little bit through a check valve and it doesn't create a big, fast flow of water, but it 24 hours a day, it'll sit there and go ka-chook, 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 and you lose 85% to 90% of the water that's to use to run this thing, but that 10% to 15% of water that you do get from that effect, yes, you can build up pressure, 25, 35, 40 pounds of pressure, to pump water up a hill. You can pump it up a half mile, a mile, depending on where you're at, and pump it to a holding tank, and then you got water, yeah.
Well, my point, it was kind of, it's great. That's a neat technology. Everybody left that technology. It's lore. It's sitting out there. You can find information on how to make one if you had such a thing like a dam, right? But a lot of people do, at least around here. There's a lot of private dams. Not a lot. That's probably a lie. But they replaced them with electric wells, these fancy new high-tech devices where you drill a hole, and you put a pump down at the end of the well, and you apply voltage to it, and it squirts the stuff back up. And that works. I get it until it doesn't, until you don't have electricity. And then how are you going to get your water? Can't move water that way.
Windmills are almost a thing of the past. Windmills are kind of a novelty item now instead of a necessary item on a ranch. Yeah,
I just wonder if... somebody can actually harness one of those windmills. I've seen you fire up your windmill once before. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. Welcome back, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we were just talking about, well, water, energy, in hearing Gillespie County, Fredericksburg, Gillespie County. You guys don't know it as Gillespie County, do you? You know, it's just Fredericksburg. The guys from Fredericksburg. Well, we have a lot of windmills. They're kind of scattered everywhere, and when I say a lot, I'm probably right. Not everybody has them, but you can see them pretty often. That would be a lot for me. Alan's got a couple on his property. And, yeah, it's a fascinating high-tech marvel, really, Alan. I mean, when you think about it, these things have, well, they're built out of metal. The ones around here, they're built out of metal, and they spin around, and they spin a gear that moves a rod, and just kind of pulls water up from the bottom of a well. And, wow, that's another time. I don't know, but I think that we're, it's good potential that we're going to be heading back there, especially when gas is going to be costing you quite a bit, right, Alan? You know, I mean, we did about 80 cents up from where our gas prices was, where we were at like 3.22, and we pushed all the way to $4 and some places over just in 7 days. And it could go for, you know, way farther. You know, I think their intention really is $20 a gallon, right? Would I, well, how about $10 a gallon, but you can't buy it. You can't find it for $10 a gallon.
Or your ration.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's check your score here. It says you can't buy gas. Get out of here. Oh, it's a bad day. But, you know, we've been promised a lot of this stuff, you know, throughout our lives. We've seen it in the science fiction movies. Soylent Green is a really really interesting one. Alan and I were talking a little bit about some of the most interesting, most relevant movies of the day. But of course, you know, they all know, all you guys out there that are listening, you know about Idiocracy, right? Wag the Dog. Very, very important movies, and I'm sure you've heard them. But it kind of puts you in touch with reality. But the sleepy people, or what we figure out, that they were stupid people, yeah, we did. They'd just say, well, it's just a movie. Oh, Alan. What?
And then there's other things.
So where are we going, Alan?
Just a book. Well, you know, I was going to try to read from Barry Goldwater's book, once again written in 1979 or printed in 1979, from a chapter called The Non-Elected Rulers. Yeah, it's I've read excerpts from this, but I would like to read some more of this because I look not only at what it says, but as to who wrote it and what point in time that it was written. You know, it's guy was definitely an insider. You know, was a senator for 8 years and ran for president, lost that, and then went for senator, I believe, 8 more years. You know, so he was definitely an insider.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Okay, well, here we go. This is from chapter 33 on page 277 of his book called With No Apologies, The Personal and Political Memoirs of United States Senator Barry M. Goldwater. Prior to World War I, the people of the United States were preoccupied with internal growth. We were truly isolationists. It was George Washington who, in his farewell address, warned us to keep free of entanglements with other nations. He said, "It is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world." Until the First World War, we were successful in remaining aloof from Europe's quarrels. In the community of nations, we were more often debtor than creditor. Our population expanded, our economic power increased. Under the free enterprise system, industry expanded. After World War I, we could no longer remain isolationist. Changing times required us to become a participant in the world community of nations. Scholars turned their attention to foreign affairs. What was to become the American Council on Foreign Relations was organized in Paris in 1919 under the sponsorship of Colonel Edward Mandel House, who had exerted much power in the Wilson administration. This non-governmental private grouping attracted a variety of individuals who considered themselves to be or desired to become specialists in foreign affairs. In its September 1, 1961 issue, the Christian Science Monitor described the Council on Foreign Relations as probably one of the most influential semi-public organizations in the field of foreign policy. The Monitor said, "The CFR is composed of 1,400 of the most elite names in the world of government, labor, business, finance, communication, the foundations, and the academies. It has staffed almost every key position of every administration since that of FDR. In September 1939, two members of the Council on Foreign Relations, Hamilton Fish Armstrong and Walter H. Mallory, visited the United States State Department, to offer the services of the Council. They proposed to do research and make recommendations to the State Department without formal assignment or responsibility, particularly in four areas: security, armaments, economic and financial problems, political problems, and territorial problems. The Rockefeller Foundation agreed to finance the operation of this plan. From that day forward, the Council on Foreign Relations has placed its members in policy-making positions with the federal government, not limited to the State Department. Since 1944, every American Secretary of State, with the exception of James F. Burns, has been a member of the CFR. Almost without exception, the members of the CFR are united by a congeniality of birth, economic status, and educational background. A number of writers disturbed by the influential role this organization has played in determining foreign policy have concluded the Council on Foreign Relations and its members are an active part of the communist conspiracy for world domination. To support this construction, they cite the fact that since the end of World War II, the free world, and the United States in particular, have suffered an unbroken string of defeats at the hand of world communism. Their syllogistic argument goes something like this: the Council on Foreign Relations has dominated American foreign policy since 1945. All American policy decisions have resulted in losses to the communists. Therefore, all members of the CFR are communist sympathizers. Many of the policies advocated by the CFR have been damaging to the cause of freedom, and particularly to the United States. But this is not because the members are communist or communist sympathizers. This explanation of our foreign policy reversals is too pat, too simplistic. I believe the Council on Foreign Relations and its ancillary elitist groups are indifferent to communism. They have no ideological anchors. In their pursuit of a new world order, they are prepared to deal without prejudice with a communist state, a socialist state, a democratic state, monarchy, oligarchy, it's all the same to them. Rear Admiral Chester Ward, United States Navy retired, who was a member of the CFR for 16 years, has written, "The most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States. Their goal is to impose a benign stability on the quarreling family of nations through merger and consolidation. They see the elimination of national boundaries, the suppression of racial and ethnic loyalties, as the most expeditious avenue to world peace. Their rationale rests exclusively on materialism. They believe economic competition is the root cause of international tension. This approach dismisses as insignificant the form of government or the political ideology expressed by that form. It may be that if the CFR's vision of the future could be realized, there would be a reduction in wars, a lessening of poverty, a more efficient utilization of the world's resources. To my mind, this would inevitably be accompanied by a loss in personal freedom of choice and the reestablishment of the restraints which provoked the American Revolution. When we change presidents, it is understood to mean the voters are ordering a change in national policy. Since 1945, three different Republicans have occupied the White House for a period of 16 years. Four Democrats have held this most powerful post the world has to offer for a period of 17 years. With the exception of the first 7 years of the Eisenhower administration, there has been no appreciable change in foreign or domestic policy direction. When a new president comes on board, there is a great turnover in personnel, but no change in policy. Example, during the Nixon years, Henry Kissinger, CFR member and Nelson Rockefeller's protege, was in charge of foreign policy. When Jimmy Carter was elected, Kissinger was replaced by Zbigniew Brzezinski's CFR member and David Rockefeller's protege. Commencing in the 30s and continuing through World War II, our official attitude toward the Far East reflected the thinking of the Institute of Pacific Relations. Men of the IPR were placed in important teaching positions. They dominated the Asian Affairs section of the State Department. IPR publications were standard reading material for the armed forces in most American colleges and were used in 1,300 public school systems. The IPR was behind the decision to cut off aid to Chiang Kai-shek unless he embraced the communists, and the CFR was the parent organization of the IPR. In 1962, then-Governor Nelson Rockefeller of Arkansas delivered a series of lectures at Harvard University on the future of federalism. In his presentation, the governor dwelt at length on the interdependence of nations in the modern world, concluding with this statement, "And so the nation-state, standing alone, threatens in many ways to seem as anachronistic as the Greek city-state eventually became in ancient times." What the governor said was true. We are dependent on other nations for raw materials and markets. It is necessary to have defense alliances with other nations in order to balance the military power of those who would destroy us. Where I differ from the governor is the suggestion implicit throughout the lectures that to achieve this new federalism, the United States must submerge its national identity and surrender substantial matters of sovereignty to a new political order. The implication in Governor Rockefeller's presentation have become concrete proposals advanced by David Rockefeller's newest international cabal, the Trilateral Commission. Whereas the Council on Foreign Relations is distinctly national in membership, the Trilateral Commission is international. Representation is allocated equally to Western Europe, Japan, and the United States. It is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political government of the United States. Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller screened and selected every individual who was invited to participate in shaping and administering the proposed New World Order. In the late 1950s, Brzezinski, an accepted member of the inner circle of academics, asserted the need for global strategies, was openly anti-communist. By 1964, Brzezinski had modified his criticism of communism. In the book Political Power, USA-USSR, Brzezinski and his co-author, Professor Samuel P. Huntington, declare, "When Khrushchev came to power, the labor camps were ended. Suppression was relaxed. writers and artists were given more freedom, and the degree of slavery lessened materially. In the recent testimony of Alexander Solzhenitsyn demonstrates the inaccuracy of Brzezinski's conclusion. In his book, Between Two Ages, which I do have and have read, published in 1970 by Viking Press, Brzezinski calls for an international community of Japan, Western Europe, and the United States to supervise and guide the undeveloped nations of the world. He declares, national sovereignty is no longer a viable concept. He calls for a rewriting of the American Constitution. He condemns the existing federal system of U.S. sovereign states as no longer necessary or adequate. In his prospectus describing the Trilateral Commission, David Rockefeller said he intended to bring the best brains of the world together to bear on the problems of the future. I find nothing inherently sinister in this original proposal, although the name he gave his new creation strikes me as both grandiose and presumptuous. The accepted definition of a commission is a group not nominated by some higher authority to perform a specific function. The trilateral organization created by David Rockefeller was a surrogate. Its members selected by Rockefeller, its purpose defined by Rockefeller, its funding supplied by Rockefeller. Whether or not the approximately 200 individuals selected for membership on the commission represent the best brains in the world is an arguable proposition. Examination of the membership roster establishes beyond question that all those invited to join were members of the power elite, enlisted with great skill and a singleness of purpose from the banking, commercial, political, and communication sectors. Invitations were extended to the top executives of Caterpillar Tractor, Texas Instruments, Exxon, Coca-Cola, Sears, Roebuck, Shell, Fiat, Hitachi, Sony, and Toyota, among others. From the world of banking, Rockefeller selected representatives from the Bank of America, Continental Illinois National Bank, and Trust Company, Wachovia Bank and Trust Company, Brown Brothers Harriman and Company, Barclays Bank, and the Bank of Tokyo. Media support was guaranteed by including the editorial director of Chicago Sun-Times, editor-in-chief of Time, directors of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post, and the president of the Columbia Broadcasting System, as well as lesser lights from the field of communications. The governmental community was not overlooked. Invitations to join were extended to Senator Walter Mondale of Minnesota, Governor Jimmy Carter of Georgia, former Undersecretary of State George Ball, Cyrus Vance, Paul Warnke, and Congressman Donald Frazier of Minnesota, and John Brandamus of Indiana, among others. Most Americans have no real understanding of the operation of the international moneylenders. The bankers want it that way. We recognize in a hazy sort of way that the Rothschilds and the Warburgs of Europe and the houses of J.P. Morgan, Kuhn, Loeb & Company, Schiff, Lehman, and Rockefeller possess and control vast wealth. How they acquired this vast financial power and employ it is a mystery to most of us. International bankers make money by extending credit to governments. The greater the debt of the political state, the larger the interest returned to the lenders. The national banks of Europe are actually owned and controlled by private interests. In the early years of the Republic, the United States experimented with a central banking system. Jefferson opposed Alexander Hamilton's scheme for the first bank of the United States, and Andrew Jackson abolished Nicholas Biddle's second bank of the United States. Wall Street banks contributed the financial muscle to elect President Woodrow Wilson in 1912. Their agent, Colonel E.M. House, became the most powerful figure in the Wilson administration. Paul Moritz Warburg, scion of the M.M. Warburg Company of Hamburg and Amsterdam, came to the U.S. in 1902. 8 years later, he was a partner in the banking house of Kuhn Loeb of New York. Warburg was the architect of our Federal Reserve System, creating a privately owned mechanism to control the currency and credit of the United States. The Federal Bank is a bank of monetary issue. It is empowered to establish a national discount rate and to authorize the printing of the currency of the United States. The accounts of the Federal Reserve System have never been audited. It operates outside the control of Congress and through its Board of Governors manipulates the credit of the United States. Under Franklin D. Roosevelt, the original term of office for governors was extended from 7 to 14 years, putting the board beyond the reach of any president. Powerful European banker Anshel Rothschild once said, "Give me the power to issue nations money, then I do not care who makes the laws." History is more of a record of man's struggle for physical survival. Food and shelter are elementary needs, but in the minds of many, the acquisition of power is more important. In the world of nature, the predator stalks his prey, killing to satisfy hunger. In the society of man, the predators pursue sovereignty, not sustenance. If successful, they find easy access to every material indulgence. Universally recognized power structures are 1. The state, police power flowing from political control. 2. Wealth, economic power flowing from monopoly control. 3. The academy, intellectual authority. And 4. The church, ecclesiastical dictum. The kings and potentates who seized or inherited power in the old world were automatically vested with control of the kingdom's riches, most of the time by subversion and collusion. They also controlled the church.
That's the music. The academy. Hang on, Alan.
And there's the music.
We're going to have to stop for a second. Hold on,
there,
folks. We'll be right back.
Just a couple more pages.
We'll finish the chapter, then go to your phone calls. I see you guys waiting there. Republic of Texas Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So here we fight all through the.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we're going to finish up this reading here, and if you're hanging on the phone line, go ahead. Please hang on for a second. We'll probably go through the top of the hour. But let's see. Where were we there, Alan?
There's like 2.5 pages left here. I'll try to get through it. If not, I might have to finish it after the top of the hour, but I'll go back to the paragraph
okay.
4. The kings and potentates who seized or inherited power in the old world were automatically vested with control of the kingdom's riches. Most of the time by subversion and collusion, they also controlled the church and the academy. In any contest with these monoliths, the individual was at a dreadful disadvantage. The only freedom of choice available was a very limited ability to select which structure he would serve. In all of them, opportunity for advancement was generally limited to the rich and the well-born. The common man was held in bondage by all four authorities. When rebellions occurred, the oppressed were not attempting to destroy the power structures. Their ambition was to replace the individuals exercising that power. The communist revolution was not an attempt to destroy the state, but rather to seize control of the political state and all wealth in private hands. Marxism emerged from the intellectual community. Some of its strongest supporters were found in the academies. The Soviet Union is, without question, a monolith. In the Western world, particularly in those nations where the people have had some choice in selecting their rulers, citizens invested with political power were not automatically endowed with enormous wealth. Only recently have our political rulers employed the economic power of the public purse to pacify and control the populations. The method adopted by the Western world to limit the authority of these power centers was to create internal division. Under our federal system, political sovereignty was dispersed. The Founding Fathers devised a tripartite system for the central government with equal authority allocated among the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. The federal system was made up of a union of sovereign states. The American Constitution is essentially a document of prohibition, specifically limiting the power of the federal government and reserving great areas of sovereignty to the states. The Industrial Revolution, the development of trade and industry, and perhaps more than anything else, westward expansion in the United States diluted the authority of concentrated wealth. The homesteaders who brought new land into production, the cattlemen, the miners, literally created their own capital without much dependence on those who had hitherto monopolized the money supply. In this new society, the wealthy were not denied or forbidden a voice in the exercise of political authority, but the rich and the well-born were not automatically entitled to a high place in the halls of government as they had been in the old world. Personal wealth was not considered a total disqualification for public service, but the people preserved an attitude of healthy cynicism towards all those who were considered too avid in their pursuit of political, economic, academic, or ecclesiastical power. The blacksmith in Iowa, the farmer in Kansas, the dentist in Chicago, and the schoolteacher in Texas probably never said so in so many words, but they all understood that a return to monolithic control of these four power centers would mean the end of individual liberty. In my view, the Trilateral Commission represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power, political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical. All this is to be done in the interest of creating a more peaceful, more productive world community. Throughout my public life and in these pages, I have refrained from judging other men's motives. I have no such hesitancy about judging their wisdom and the results of the actions taken. A report presented at the plenary meeting of the Trilateral Commission, May 30th through 31, 1975, at Kyoto, Japan, called for an enlargement of central authority and expressed a lack of confidence in democratically arrived at public decisions. Arguing the need to limit democracy, the report called for centralized economic and social planning, centralization of power within the Congress, improved working conditions to reduce pressure for industrial democracy modeled on patterns of political democracy, a program to lower the job expectations of those who receive a college education. The music is here, and I've just got about one more page, and that will be the end of this chapter, and I'll finish this off quickly at the top of the next hour.
Republic of Texas Radio.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends. We are.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.